The Rakshasa is not an altruist. If by satisfying himself he can satisfy others, he is pleased. But he does not make that his motive. If he has to trample on others to satisfy himself, he does so without compunction. Is he not the strong man, the efficient ruler, the mighty one? The Rakshasa has kama. He has no prema. Napoleon knew not what love was. He had only the kindliness that goes with possession. He loved Josephine because she satisfied his nature. He loved France because he possessed her. His mother because she was his and congenial. His soldiers because they were necessary to his glory. But the love did not go beyond his need of them. It was his self-satisfaction and had no element in it of self-surrender. Rakshasa slays all that opposes him and is careless about the extent of the slaughter, but is never cruel. Napoleon had no taint of Nero in him, but he flung away without a qualm whole armies as holocausts on the altar of his glory. He shot Offa, murdered Einan. What then is there in the Rakshasa that makes him necessary? He is individuality, he is force, he is capacity. He is the second power of God, wrath, strength, grandeur, rushing impetuosity, overbearing courage, the avalanche, the thunderbolt. He is Balram, he is Jehovah, he is Rudra. As such, we may admire and study him. But the Vibhuti, though he takes self-gratification and enjoyment on his way, never comes for self-gratification and enjoyment. He comes for work, to help man on his way, the world in the evolution. Napoleon was one of the mightiest of Vibhutis, one of the most dominant. There are some of them who hold themselves back, suppress the force in their personality in order to put it wholly into their work. Of such were Shakespeare, Washington, Victor Emmanuel. There are others like Alexander, Caesar, Napoleon, Goethe, who are as obviously superhuman in their personality as in the work they accomplish. Napoleon was the greatest in practical capacity of all moderns. In capacity, though not in character, he resembles Bhishma of the Mahabharata. He had the same sovereign, irresistible, world-possessing grasp of war, politics, government, legislation, society. The same masterly handling of masses and amazing glut for details. He had the iron brain that nothing fatigues, the faultless memory that loses nothing, the clear insight that puts everything in its place with spontaneous accuracy. It was as if a man were to carry Caucasus on his shoulders, and with that burden race successfully an express engine, yet note and forecast every step and never falter. To prove that anything in a human body could be capable of such work is by itself a service to our progress, for which we cannot be sufficiently grateful to Napoleon. The work of Bonaparte was wholly admirable. It is true that it took freedom for a season from France. But France was not then fit for democratic freedom. She had to learn discipline for a while under the rule of the soldier of revolution. He could not have done the work he did, hampered by an effervescent French parliament, ebullient in victory, discouraged in defeat. He had to organize the French Revolution so far as earth could then bear it, and he had to do it in the short span of an ordinary lifetime. He had also to save it. The aggression of France upon Europe was necessary for self-defense. For Europe did not mean to tolerate the revolution. She had to be taught that the revolution meant not anarchy, but a reorganization so much mightier than the old that a single country so reorganized could conquer united Europe. That task Napoleon did effectively. It has been said that his foreign policy failed because he left France smaller than he found it. That is true. But it was not Napoleon's mission to aggrandize France geographically. He did not come for France, but for humanity. And even in his failure, he served God and prepared the future. The balance of Europe had to be disturbed in order to prepare new combinations, and his gigantic operations disturbed it fatally. He roused the spirit of nationalism in Italy, in Germany, in Poland, while he established a tendency towards the formation of great empires. And it is the harmonized fulfillment of nationalism and empire that was the immediate future. He compelled Europe to accept the necessity of reorganization, political and social.